right? You're wanting productivity for the kingdom of God, right? That's what we're after as a child of God, productivity for the King. Hallelujah. And so putting Christ first, he will then allow us to be blessed, and he will take care of those other things. It's just amazing what God will do for us. And so tonight, that's what I want to preach about a little bit more. I want to preach tonight on good things. That's what you want, isn't it? Good things. How many in here want bad things? You know, I mean, nobody wants bad things. We want good things. Amen. So I want to preach a little while on good things. Psalms 84 and 11, our opening text for tonight. Thank you, Brother Timmy. Praise the Lord. When you find that, and all you have to do is look up, aim high, and you will have found it. I like this projection thing. I really do. I like it. It's just, really to me, it's kind of an amazing thing, because then it's just right there, and you can read it. You know, sometimes if you can't read it in your Bible, usually if it's up here, you can read it, you can see it. And then we read it out loud, so not only can you see it, you can hear it. And Psalms 84:11 reads, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Good things. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name, and we thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your Holy Ghost, oh, that dwells within us, Lord. It is that gift from above. I ask you, Lord God, tonight to allow that Spirit of God to quicken your words, quicken your truths, Lord, and bring them alive inside of us, Lord, that we might have a greater productivity for the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house and the opportunity to share your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God is our sun and our shield. Now, if you don't like cold weather, then you really very much appreciate the sun, correct? Amen. But this portion of Scripture is not really talking about the warmth that we get from the sun. And it really, if you stop and think about it, a shield and the sun, you don't want shielded from the sun. If you're a sun lover, you want to be in the sun. But the reality is, the sun and the shield is the fact that the sun, being in the eyes of the enemy, was the advantage of you. Amen. So in other words, when you could position yourself to where the sun was in the eyes of the enemy, you had the advantage over the enemy. Anybody ever played volleyball outside? Did you ever complain when the sun was in your eyes? You did, because it is a hindrance to being able to see what's coming your direction. Praise God. See, so God is our sun and our shield. Not only does he work against the enemy, he even protects us from the enemy. So God is our sun and our shield. He gives us the advantage over the enemy, and he even protects us from the enemy. Hallelujah. And the Lord will give grace. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Anybody in here ever been a recipient of the grace of God? Oh yeah, the grace of God and glory. How many's ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? That glory of God, that presence of God. And the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Hallelujah. The good things of God, everything pertaining to the kingdom of God, all the spiritual strength, that power within, the good things he will not withhold. And all we have to do to receive all these blessings, all these promises, is just simply walk uprightly. Amen. Let's find out what that means. That word uprightly, it's got several different meanings. It means complete, whole, entire, sound, healthful. Are you spiritually healthy tonight? Healthful, wholesome, unimpaired, innocent, having integrity. One is complete or entirely in accord with truth and fact. Praise God. So, if I will walk complete, how can I be complete? Well, I've got to be in Christ Jesus to be complete. I've got to be born again by the Spirit of God. My sins have to be washed away. Hallelujah. And there's got to be a new creature created inside of me. I mean, that's the complete work of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that God has brought to, pertaining to the cleansing, to where then I can have access unto God and into the throne room. And so we see then walking upright is walking in the completeness that God has provided in His salvation. It means I am entirely in surrender to Jesus Christ. Wow. Entire, uprightly, entirely surrendered to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You see, this is where it's at for the child of God. Walking uprightly before the King is having integrity. What integrity means, kind of in a nutshell, is that I do what God wants me to do no matter where I'm at, no matter what time of day it is, no matter what time of night it is. Integrity is doing what's right in every given situation. Hallelujah. Whether anybody sees me do it or not. Whether I'm seen by men so my light can shine, or whether it's just done totally when I'm all by myself, integrity maintains that uprightness before God. Hallelujah. And thus God will not withhold any grace and any glory. The God will be our sun. He will be our shield. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. In James chapter 1 verse number 17 it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Where are we supposed to set our affections on? Things above. And where does every good gift come from? Where does every perfect gift come from? It comes from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, He's going to be full in your face, so to speak. He's not going to turn away when you're calling on His name. He's not going to turn away when trouble's coming your way. He's not, you're getting what I'm, you know, sometimes, you know, you're talking to people and they might get a little weary with you and they'll turn away. Husbands, you ever turned away from your wife? Woo. Wives, you ever turned away from your husbands? Vice versa? I mean, you know, turning away. God doesn't do that. He doesn't turn away. He always listens, even sometimes when we're a little whiny. You ever been whiny with God? Poor, pitiful me, whiny with God? We've all been whiny with God, but God still doesn't turn away. He just listens to us, and He lets us whine. And then when we get done whining and we're ready to listen to Him, then He encourages our heart and lifts us up, and we realize, I really didn't have anything to whine about. God is so good to me. Praise God. Is that not how it is? Is that not how it works? I mean, the goodness of God, the Son, the shield, the grace, the glory. Hallelujah. Because we realize that it all comes from above. It all comes from our God. All the good things in my life have come from serving the Lord. There's a song that makes that statement. I love that song. Hallelujah. When I first heard that song, it just became one of my favorite songs because I can relate to that. All the good things in my life have come from serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, it's just the reality of serving Him. And this is kind of what we're after here tonight. Walking uprightly before the Lord is that servant's heart, that servant's desire, that longing to be like my Savior, that longing to be like my King, that longing to be like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is so filled with love. Love and compassion and kindness and mercy and grace. That's what I like to receive. How about you? That I want to make sure that's what I'm giving. That's what I'm giving. Hallelujah. Sister Pepper made mention of our community dinner and even our passing out of the coats, of always putting the individual you're talking with on the platform, so to speak. Inquire about them. have compassion on them, want to hear about what's going on in their lives, and just waiting for that moment and that opportunity when we can share some of the good things God's done for us. Hallelujah. Talking about good things here tonight. You see, that's what people need to understand, and that's what people need to hear about the goodness of our God. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Hallelujah. The song the children sings, when they come out of Sunday school up here. Let me tell you about my Jesus and what he's done for you, for me. And I know that he'll do the same for you. Woo, praise be to our God. See, that's the high side of presenting the gospel. Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to condemn. He came into this world to save. Wow. The thing is the condemnation is already there. That's why men and women are miserable, because they're actually under condemnation. They need the good news of how to come into the goodness of God. Ooh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. In other words, the desire of our Heavenly Father and the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ is to take our lives and make them the best that he created them to be. In other words, this is talking about the potential you and I have in our lives to be like Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know how many times I've told the Lord, you know, Lord, I just don't think I can do that. Anybody else ever done that? Lord, I just don't think I can do that. Lord, I just don't think I can do that. But he keeps reminding me, you can do all things because I'll strengthen you. In other words, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. So it's his desire that you and I be a glorious church. Not having to deal with a lot of things that used to be in our lives, because now they are past. Amen. And we are walking in that newness of life. Praise God. Hallelujah. And thus our light is shining, and thus we're holy and without blemish. You see, it's the desire of God to perfect our lives, because he loves us so much. He wants to perfect our lives. He wants to purge our lives, purify our lives. He wants us to really have the blessings that he purchased on Calvary. Hallelujah. And so it's his desire that we be made complete. It's his desire that there be a perfect work done in us. In James chapter number 1, verse number 4, it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Once again, the provision of the good things of God. You know, a lot of times you may not see that in that scripture. It just depends on which side of conviction you're on. Praise the Lord. If you're on the high side and you're aiming your affections towards Jesus Christ, then you realize, I want to be perfected. If you're on the low side and you're not wanting to change your life, but you want to remain the same as you were when Jesus found you, then this doesn't really make you happy at all. This is more like, oh, I have to do that. Oh, I got to do that. I have to do that. Whoa, something's missing in that type of mentality. Jesus Christ is not at the forefront of that mentality at all. Self is still at the forefront of that mentality. And there needs to be a change. There needs to be a transformation. There needs to be a renewing of surrender. Yeah, to get saved, you got to surrender. And if you've gotten saved, you had to surrender. But then if these thoughts of I have to start coming in, you need a brand new surrender to the lover of your soul. Hallelujah. That has more desire to see you victorious and overcoming and perfected and pure than you would ever dream about, because he has the power to do it if I'll just learn to follow and let him have his wonderful way in my life. Hallelujah. He wants to present you and I as a glorious church. Hallelujah. In James chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed." Praise God. I want to be a doer. I've got to get my mind frame set, bent. We use that terminology Sunday night, bent of mind. I've got to get my mind frame bent the right direction so that I can begin to wrap it around the Word of God, that perfect liberty, hallelujah, that Christ has brought me into. Hallelujah, who looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Praise God. A doer. I can. I can. I can. I can. I can. Oh, but it's hard. But I can. I can. Oh, but I don't feel it. I can. I can. I can't. Getting it on your mind. You can get it done. You can do it. You can become a doer of the work, which is just a talking about a doer of the word. When the word comes your way, then you've got to wrap your mind around it. And as we say in our pledges at school, we've got to hide it in our hearts. That means we got to remember what it said. Hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against God. Just because you've read God's word doesn't mean you're a doer of God's word. Doesn't mean you've put it in your heart. It just means you're very knowledgeable about God's word. But are you a doer of that word? Hallelujah. Do you have that integrity going on, that uprightness going on, to where that's what you want to do with your life? I want to live it for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. James chapter 2, verse 22. "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." How many have faith in Jesus Christ here tonight? This is a loaded question. It's loaded. The hammer's cocked, and we're about to shoot. Praise God. It's a loaded question. "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" Your faith is totally displayed when you are a doer of the word. If you say you have faith, but you don't do what you're supposed to do, you don't have faith. You just know faith is right, but you ain't got it. And I'm reminded, oh my, years ago, Brother Bill Rich told me the story of a young preacher and an older preacher. And the younger preacher was always asking the older preacher, "What do I need to do to, you know, have God's anointing and to really, you know, be able to share God's word and there be some results?" And he would pray and he would fast and he would pray and he'd fast. And he'd just keep preaching. And when he'd get done preaching, he'd go to this older minister. And he said, "Well, what do you think? Am I getting there?" He said, "You ain't got it." "Oh," he said, "You ain't got it." So he would pray and he would fast. And he was just doing all he could do to try to get that anointing of God. And finally, he was exasperated, really wanting to give up. And he just simply said, "God, here I am. Do something with me. Somehow, some way." And he got up to preach that night. And God did. And we come up to the old gentleman. The gentleman said, "You got it." What was he lacking? He was lacking full surrender to letting God do what God wanted to do instead of what he wanted to do for God. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Woo, the complete work. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. James 3:2. For in many things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Here's the factor. Here's where it's at. Bridling that tongue and letting it be used for God and by God. A lot of people have struggled with speaking in tongues as that initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You will also probably find those people also struggle with keeping their mouth shut and not saying things they shouldn't say and not biting their tongue, so to speak. But you will find those that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost coming up speaking in other tongues has found a place where God has complete control. Because when that tongue is under God's control, you're under God's control. And that's why a lot of folks don't want to accept the speaking in tongues, because bottom line, they don't want to accept full control of God. And that's what James, he's talking about that tongue. And you know James talks a whole lot more about it. It's that most unruly member of the body. And the same, anybody that can offend not in word, in other words, that can think and bring those thoughts under captivity and not use that tongue as an expression of anger, they're a perfect man. They're there. They've got it. Hallelujah. See, the good things, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. Did you catch that? This is a good thing. That I can bring these things under subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can allow the Spirit of God to have the preeminency in my thought pattern, in the way I operate. Did you catch that? Because a lot of times we have a way we operate that we were born with, maybe even trained up that way as a youth, but it doesn't mean it's the right way to operate. And we've got to be willing to adjust operations, praise God, to where the Holy Ghost can bring us to that place where God can bless us. And God can pour out all those good things upon us. You know, slow to speak, swift to hear. A lot of times people have a hard... Anybody in here have a hard time remembering names when you meet somebody new? You want me to give you a little bit of advice how you can always remember somebody's name? It's proven. It's not hard either. When you meet someone and you ask them their name, when they tell you their name, listen to them. Don't think. Don't be trying to think of what you're going to say back. Listen. Hang on every word they're saying. And when they tell you their name, well, my name is Billy Bob. We'll just use that. That's easy to roll off your tongue. Billy Bob. So you just listen to them, Billy Bob. And you say it in your mind, Billy Bob, Billy Bob. Billy Bob. Don't even think about what you're going to say. Because you know why we can't remember names? Because we're not really listening to them. We're thinking about what we're going to say. And thus we don't get what they said. And so as community dinner's coming up, coat distributing, practice this. When you meet someone, don't even think about saying anything. think about listening. And here's another one. You know, I mean, you got to repeat their name either to yourself. And so they, when they say, okay, and what was your name? Billy Bob. Okay, Billy Bob. Did you see what I just did? I said his name. What did that do? That put it into my mind. I had to say it, so it put it in my mind. And in my mind, I'm just thinking, Billy Bob, Billy Bob, Billy Bob. And I do this quite often when visitors come in here, and I still get up here and sometimes can't remember their exact name. Now, I do, but then I second guess myself. But that's how you remember people's names. You pay attention to them instead of what you're thinking. What are you doing? You're putting them before yourself. And you're really putting yourself to a place where you are concerned about knowing what their name is. And then sometimes we're just forgetful and we can't remember people's names. That's the way it is. Praise God. And so we're going to move on here, talking about good things, talking about not offending in word. And 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." No matter what you're going through, no matter whether you're having a trial or a test or things are just not going well, God is the God of all grace. He's not taken by surprise one bit by anything that transpires in our lives. He knows all about it. But sometimes the God of all grace is wanting to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Settle you. In other words, get you where you can hear that God of all grace. I don't know whether you've noticed it or not, but sometimes we as human beings are so set-headed. And God has been trying to talk to us for a long time. And it's like, God, was that you? Ah, that couldn't have been God. Why would God want me to deny myself? That couldn't have been God. He wants to bless me. Be careful lest you get a little bit of this charismatic liberal mind frame going on in your mind about God's blessing. God wants to bless the upright. He ain't going to bless those that are dragging their feet. He ain't going to bless those that ain't wanting to listen. He's not going to bless those that are going to change. He'll be merciful. He'll be gracious. He'll be kind. But don't you want blessing? Don't you want blessing? Don't you want all the good things of God going on in your life? Are you just going to drag on grace all your life? Are you going to jump up and let God have his way so he can bless you? So he can open up and pour out a blessing. Hallelujah. Now here's a little story I'm going to close with. Sister Pepper's coming back to the piano. And it's just simply entitled, God Uses a Bigger Shovel. And this is a story that's told of a good farmer who loved the Lord and believed in stewardship. He was generous indeed and was asked by his friends why he gave so much and yet remained so prosperous. "We cannot understand you," his friend said. "Why, you seem to give more than the rest of us, and yet you always seem to have greater prosperity." "Oh," said the farmer, "that's easy to explain. You see, I keep shoveling into God's bin, and God keeps shoveling more and more into mine. And God has the bigger shovel." A doer of the work is what I'm after in that story. Putting and setting and laying my treasures in heaven. And as I am continually serving and honoring and exalting and praising and obeying my Savior, I am shoveling up my treasures into heaven, if you will. And as I continue to do what God wants me to do in my life, then God is shoveling back into my life, and He has the bigger shovel. Woo. Praise our God. We got too many folks around here, not around here, but in the church world, that have the same mentality of those out there in the world. Everybody owes me something. God doesn't owe me anything. Nobody owes me anything. I owe it all to my Savior. I'm the one who had the debt. I'm the one that am still in debt, because I could never repay everything that He has already done. But I'm going to do my best to keep giving my all, because His shovel is bigger than mine. Stand with me. Father in heaven, I praise You. I thank You, Lord God, for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace, Your kindness. And I thank You for the promises of Your word. Lord God, it is Your desire to perfect our lives, change our lives, transform our lives. And God, we thank You for that. Oh, You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us, Lord. But You're going to be right there pointing us, hallelujah, to the throne room of our God. Every perfect gift, every good gift is coming from above. That changing and transforming of my life, my spiritual well-being, hallelujah. Praising You, magnifying You, glorifying You, being a surrendered vessel unto You. Lord, that You might bless me, Lord God, with Your blessings, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be our God. Father, we thank You, Lord God, for Your love, Your Spirit, Your Word. Ask You, Lord God, to continually speak to our hearts, helping us to be that glorious church. That glorious church. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Let's come around these altars here tonight. Let's just praise our God. Let's rejoice in our God. Let's praise Him for our salvation, and praise Him that He leaves us not alone, but He's continually bringing those things to our lives.